Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by Zaycar Photography. You've been working your butt off in the gym. Now it's time to show off all that hard work with a professional photo shoot from Zaycar Photography. Come into our studio and get some awesome photos to document your body that you've worked so hard for. You don't need to be a professional model. Our photographers are experienced professionals and can make anyone feel comfortable in front of the camera. Contact our studio manager, Kate, today at kate@zaycarphoto.com. And let me spell that for you. It's K-A-T-E at Z-A-E-K-A-R-P-H-O-T-O.com. And now back to the show.
AMP Radio.
People just don't see how much work is really involved in this rap shit. I didn't know it. I didn't see it. I never saw it until I was...
Move along. Nothing to see here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
live!
Get on the ball!
Feel good.
Let the bang, bro.
Yes, you know me.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio. Glad to have you here if you're a first-time listener. We're also glad to have you. Welcome to the fold. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are here to do hashtag SmackMyPicsUp. Hashtag. Down with the picnics, of course. Also brought to us by Bomb First Apparel. Go head over to Bomb First and use the promo code AMP10 for 10% off. Bomb First. Be more. Be first. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to it. We are going to go and do it. And of course, we're going to recap everything that happened last weekend, because I know y'all like to know the stats and who won. Hashtag smack my picks up for that week. We're going to get to that. Don't you worry. But we're also going to do the picks for this weekend's card in the UFC. Let's go ahead and bring in the host before I get too excited. You know her, you love her. She's a turtle saver. Cam from North Carolina, the life of the party, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi guys, what's up? I'm like St. Francis of Assisi or something like that, because I'm saving all kinds of animals.
Well, the animals need to be saved, and I'm glad you're there to save them, Pam. Thank you so much.
Well, it was funny, because he had crossed the road, and he was trying to jump, get onto the curb, and he couldn't. So I pulled my truck over in some parking lot, and I ran down the street in high heels, because he was getting ready to go back into the street. So I'm running down in high heels, and I'm trying to, like, keep my boobs, like, from falling out of my shirt, you know?
Oh, hey.
And so I grabbed him, and then I took him to my car, and then I found this cute little park that's just right down the road, and I did a release, and he seemed happy, so yay.
Yay. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned, we are here to do Fight Night 131 from Ithaca, New York. The granddaddy of them all, the Adirondack Bank Center. Pam.
Well, hey.
You know who else is here this evening?
Oh.
The gambler himself.
I was going to say Showtime.
Himself.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away.
Sitting at the table. What's going on, fellas? And the beautiful
What's Pam. Up? Like,
yeah.
Showtime's
out
there
going to
be the... He's
Shout
trying to be the Fast
makeup.
And the Furious.
Showtime, it's always good to have you here, 100%. And I'm glad you're here because you did atrocious last week, just like me, in the hashtag smack my picks up. But let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show. He's from the heart of Texas. Marco from Waco, brother. Marco, you are underwater. Maybe we should let you start again.
Are you in the shower?
You're underwater. You're underwater. We cannot hear you.
Goodness. What's going on?
There you are.
Better.
Marco from Ecuador.
Yes, sir. How are you, K Pasa?
You got knocked the fuck out, man. Last weekend, man. Everybody sucked. My pick sucked. Everybody's pick sucked. But it's all right. Of course, you're gonna tell us a winner, and I think it's still me, but I just assume it. Just let me know.
You son of a bitch.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to get to the results of last weekend, or last weekend's exactly picks. Of course, let's recap one second. We had Bellator 200 and, of course, UFC Fight Night 130. And I'm just gonna say real quick, this segment is going to be brought to us by Bomb First Apparel. Go over there and check them out. AMP10 is, of course, the code that you use to get 10% off. Instagram at BOMBFIRST1. Yes, Steve. Let's recap. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just gonna go right out and say here. Yes, as Marco said, the picks, not so much, but Marco did a very, very good job pulling through, getting the most points. It was his spotlight fight of the night, ladies and gentlemen, that did save him. Because, of course, Marco chose Carvalho in the Bellator 200 main event. Of course, Musasi taking that down in the first round, looking impressive. Marco strikes out there. However, Marco redeems himself by taking Till by decision in UFC Fight Night 130. And of course, Pam and Marco are neck and neck at this point in time because both their spotlight fights of the night came through. Pam choosing Elias by decision. And what a great fight that was, ladies
You're
and gentlemen.
A great manager,
Marco,
of a dummy.
Thank you very much. Marco taking MVP.
Call me Marco Damos from now on. And what was I saying?
Oh, my gosh. You better hush.
I hadn't even finished telling the results yet, Marco.
Go ahead.
I hadn't even finished telling. I hadn't even finished telling the results.
What are we talking
already
about?
Sneaking it. No. You win. Go ahead. Cut your promo.
I'm doing my freaking touchdown dance right now, brother. Touchdown dance, you know?
Thank you, dummies.
You're just
Anyways,
keeping it warm. That's
gentlemen.
All right. Just keeping it warm.
Pam, it was very close, Pam, it was very close. The only thing that saved him was choosing MVP, and of course he could not have taken the fact that MVP, the caveman, would, of course, submit by verbal submission. I don't know what that was about, but ladies and gentlemen, it was a mess. Okay, so let me break down what's going to happen this evening, ladies and gentlemen. We, of course, are going to cover UFC Fight Night 131. I think what we're going to do is we're going to do the main and the co-main as we usually do, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't know if there's going to be more than one spotlight fight of the night that we can choose. But we are also, as I mentioned, going to do everyone's favorite segment, hashtag spotlight fight of the night.
No way.
And then, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Then, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to break into a little bit of news and notes. But, of course, that's going to be our one-round segment, which means if you are a first-time listener, everyone, we're going to go around the horn. All the hosts are going to have 3 minutes to weigh in and give their point on a certain subject that I am going to throw out. There was a lot of news and notes, especially coming out of last weekend, Pam. I'm going to have some news from last weekend, of course.
I know it.
Somebody retired. We're going to talk about that, but let's not get into that right now. DJ Tony, cue the music. Let's get throw to UFC Fight Night 130 run. Rivera versus Morales. From the granddaddy, as I mentioned, of them all, the Adirondack Center. Sorry, the Adirondack Bank Center. My apologies to them. In Utica, New York. Sorry, I spent too much energy on that. My apologies. This card is not great, but you know what? I hope
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Exactly. I hope the fans of Utica, New York are very impressed because, of course, the main event, hashtag number four ranked Jimmy Rivera, El Terror, against our boy, Marlon Moraes. He calls himself the Magic. Jimmy Rivera is 21-1-0 against, of course, Moraes. 25-1. Cam, I'm going to start with you because I'm going to give the live odds to Showtime next when I go to him. So, Cam, what you got here in the main event?
So, I think this is going to be fun only because these guys have been talking smack for, what, the last 6 months? And they tried to make a fight and somebody couldn't make weight. And then, you know, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So, we have Jimmy Rivera. And you have to say this. This is your Spanish word for the day. El Terror, which means the terror. So El Terror versus Magic. Magic.
Hashtag
so,
Spanish word of the day.
You know, yeah, El Terror. You got to roll your R's. Your wife will appreciate that. So Jimmy Rivera, you know, 21-0, 4 KOs, 2 sub, 15 decisions. So what does that tell you? He is a what? Say it all together. Decisionator going against Marlon Moraes. Now, his Jimmy Rivera's UFC wins over Thomas Almeida, Uriah Faber, Yuri Alcantara, and Pedro Munhoz. But his last KO win was in 2015. All those wins right there were by a decision. Go over towards Marlon Moraes. Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, kickboxing, wrestling. He's a black belt in Muay Thai, brown belt in Jiu-Jitsu. Jimmy Rivera is a third-degree black belt in Kyokushin Karate. So, but you know what? Marlon Moraes, 9 KOs, 5 subs, 6 decisions. His last win was the first round TKO of Aljamain Sterling. He has one loss by Asuncao in 2017. And right now, I just think he just has more weapons in his arsenal. I think he's a little bit trickier. I just think, you know, his fight resume is better. And I am going, give me a drum roll for this one. I'm taking Moraes with this first round KO, man.
All right.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Oh. Ground and pound, man. Ground and pound. You're going to be hearing a lot of let's bang, bro.
Tony, right on it. Way to go. Okay, so Pam, give it to us again because I was not prepared. I was texting back and forth with DJ Tony. Please give it to us again.
I thought you were all looking at girls. First round TKO or first round KO. First round KO, TKO. Marlon Moraes.
Yeah. All right. So, Pam going with the former PFL champion. Oh, sorry. That's right. It wasn't PFL at that point. Let's go ahead and bring in our boy Showtime. Thank you very much. Showtime, this is a big fight. Let's be honest. I mean, at this weight division, at the 135ers, this is a big fight. To, you know, gentlemen who are right there at the top, El Terror and Magic going face to face. And let me give you the odds real quickly. And I'm taking these odds, unfortunately, from the UFC website, Showtime. Rivera is the favorite in a minus 120 against Moraes and coming back at us at a plus 100. What do you think about those odds? And of course, give us your pick as well, brother.
I was looking at Five Dimes. It's basically even on Five Dimes. Basically minus 110 with both guys. Man, I had to give this a lot of thought with this fight, man, because I was kind of looking back on, you know, Rivera hasn't really been active, but I was just kind of thinking back on the Uriah Faber fight, man, how he just beat him up, man. Really just, I think that put the bow tie on Uriah Faber really needing to retire, man, when I just saw him getting beat up in that fight. And one thing I can say, Rivera doesn't have a lot of KOs, but, man, he has heavy hands, though. He has real heavy hands. And the only thing that scares me about this is Marlon is hittable. If you look at his fights from him fighting in WSOF, you know, he gets hit. You know, not like a Justin Gaethje or whatever, but he's hittable. I do think that Marlon has more weapons as far as, you know, the leg kicks and, you know, a lot of other stuff. But Jimmy has them as well. So, I think I'm going to go against the grain a little bit on this one, man. I think I'm going to go with Rivera, man. I just think he hits hard. And I actually can see him stopping Moraes. I mean, I don't know, you know, what round, but I just can see the guy's powerful. And one thing about this is sort of like a grudge match, man. These guys don't like each other. So
right.
When you have two guys that don't like each other fighting, man, anything can happen, especially when you got two very talented guys. I just think with the power that Rivera has, I think he's going to catch Marlon coming in, man, and he may knock him out. So I may go third round knockout by Rivera. Okay.
All right. So third round KO for Rivera, for Showtime for Rivera. And, of course, you mentioned the long layoff, of course. The last time we saw Jimmy Rivera was back in July of 2017. So, yeah, it's almost been a year, right? So that has to be a concern. Oh, breaking news. Tony sending in his particular fights or his pick for this fight. He is also going to take Jimmy a second round TKO. But I want to throw to Marco here because I want to hear what he has to say, but I'm going to go next because that's kind of how we want to keep this order going here. Look, I think you guys, the both of you, you and Pam Showtime, both bring up good points. I mean, I think the time off for Jimmy is going to be kind of not great. I don't think that you want to go against someone like Marlon, and from the camp that he's from, I mean, I know we brought him in because he's fighting in local New Jersey, Toms River to be exact. And of course, the last time we saw Marlon was against Aljo or Aljamain Sterling, and that was December 9th of last year. And he won by KO, TKO. So when he got the performance of the night, Showtime, I unfortunately, I'm going to have to disagree with you here. I think the layoff, I think the time off is going to affect Jimmy a little bit. And I'm going to take, I think I'm going to take Moraes by first round KO.
Oh, look at you.
Same as Pam, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, check out the big brain on Brad.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's go ahead, Showtime. Yep.
You know what, though, man? As I'm looking at some of these other fighters coming off layoffs, it's really, if you look at some of the fighters that have fought the past couple of weeks that came off layoffs, they really hadn't looked too bad. So I think it can be a blessing in disguise with you not taking as much damage. Basically, you're just sparring and taking your damage and training, but not fighting. So we'll see. But I mean, like I said, I gave it a lot of thought, and I most definitely like Marlon. I mean, I love him. I mean, I've been a big fan of his. I just, some reason is telling me this Rivera, this is time, man.
Yeah, and you know what?
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Thank you, Tony. This is why we do this show, because we're not all going to agree, and it's good for us all to have our own point of view and explain our own point of view. But let's bring the champion, of course, He's going to probably cut another promo here. Marco from Waco, what you got here, brother?
Not only the champ, but the champ, brother. I'm telling you, you and Pam are a smoking joke. Because Gina Rivera got Uriah Faber's scalp on his freaking belt. And remember that Rivera was supposed to fight Dominic Cruz at the end of last year, and Cruz got hurt. So he was already getting ready for Dominic Cruz. That tells you how highly the promotion and everybody else think about Jimmy Rivera. I feel not solo Marlon Moraes. I'm not saying he's like a good fighter. He's a really good fighter. But I don't think he's quite elite, man. I mean, remember, he shut the bed on his freaking debut. He shut the bed on his debut. Jimmy Rivera has lost in like 17 fights. Yeah, he might be a quote-unquote decisionator, but the kind of decisionator he is, he hurts you on the process, man. He's a really, really good boxer. He hits you with power. He's super durable. He has never been knocked out. He only got one loss in his career. 21-1. I'm riding with the freaking Jimmy Rivera freaking bandwagon. It's going to still be the kind of decisionation that he does all the time, but he's going to be dominant. It's going to be entertaining for the first couple of rounds, and then Rivera is just going to take over. If Uriah Faber, who is, by all intents and purposes, elite, could not deal with Jimmy Rivera, Marlon Moraes got nothing for Jimmy Rivera, brother. Give me Jimmy Rivera about a freaking 49-46 unanimous decision. Jimmy Rivera, 49-46 unanimous decision. I give him Moraes.
I apologize. I'm just trying to write this down while you're saying it so I can keep the records. I'm not trying to annoy you.
I know. I'm not annoying.
Take the belt. Drip him of that belt. Drip him of the belt.
You ain't going to do nothing.
That's right. You ain't doing nothing. Okay, nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, we are 23 minutes into the show. We need to move on to the co-main event. Just be ready. Just be ready, Showtime. I'm going to start with you. Showtime. Gegard the Gift Gillespie versus Vic Kinshel from Hell. One of the greatest nicknames of all time. Somebody was thinking on in his camp. Okay, Gregor Gillespie coming out at 11-0-0. Geez, Lord above, what a great record. Against From Hell. I'm just going to call him From Hell. 11-1-0. Let me give you the odds real quickly, Showtime. Gillespie, minus 450, favorite. Versus Pichel at a plus 350. Showtime, I throw to you. What you got?
Oh, man, these odds are, woo.
Tell me what you got.
I got minus 400, Gillespie, Pichel plus 325.
And the five dimes
Five dimes. You know what? I think this fight is a lot closer than this, but Gregor Gillespie, man, is a monster. I mean, he'll toss you around. Then he has this little hair where he'll flick his little hair back, like little cute hairstyle where he'll flick his little hair back. So basically, man, I think his wrestling, man, is just so freaking dominant, man, that he can control the fight. If he ever get in any trouble, if he don't like it standing up, he'll basically just get you to the ground. I mean, that's probably what he'll do in this fight. Even though I like Pichel, I like his hand game is real good. His stand-up is good. I mean, I just think Gregor, man, is a top prospect for a reason. So I'll take Gregor. This may be probably a decision. He'll probably just dominate this fight for three rounds, you know. Pichel may have a time or two where he may hit Gregor, because I have seen Gregor get hit, you know, if he tries to stand up a little bit. But I think he'll just take it to the ground and basically just dominate him and probably win a unanimous decision.
Okay, so you're taking Gillespie?
Yeah, Gillespie, unanimous decision.
Yeah, decision, unanimous. All right, I just have to write it down in a perfect in an order so that I can read it when I'm going back through it, so that I know what all you guys have picked. I apologize for having to recap. Okay, Marco, let's throw to you here because I'm sure you've got something to say here in the lightweight division, as some people would call it, the most interesting division. Marco, are these guys? These guys both are in the co-main event, but they're both on ranks. So, what do you think here, brother? Do you think these are two rising stars? And what's your pick? What you got?
I think this is a choke for the gift, because Gillespie is the gift that keeps on giving, man. 11-0, the guy is an outstanding wrestler. They think highly of this kid, Gillespie, man. He's a high prospect, and I think they're putting him on the co-main event to showcase him a little bit. Priscille from hell, I think he's going to hell. Nah. He's a very, you know, a very respectable prospect, too, and a guy that... He won't be too damaged if he loses to Gillespie now. You know what I'm saying? And if he wins, if he beats Gillespie, even better for him. Nobody expects him to win, though. I mean, the odds are that high for a reason. That is how the odds makers see how talented Gillespie is. And until proven otherwise, you have to ride out with a favorite, man. His wrestling is just too dominant. He's probably going to put this kid on his ass and ground and pound him today. He's really good at position. And ground and pound, and keeping a dominant stance and maintaining it. It's gonna be a decision, a 30-27 decision for Gillespie, and the train is gonna keep riding out. I'm not trying to sell Priscille short, but I think it's not too much too soon. But I don't think he's as talented as Gillespie is, and maybe a couple of more fights before getting a fight like this would have been a better serve for him, but. He won't be too far behind, though. So give me Gillespie with a 30-27 decision.
Okay, so I've got Marco. I've got Marco going with Gillespie with decision. I've also got Showtime going with decision. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I also have DJ Tony going with Gillespie by decision. Seems like everybody's on the same page there. You know what? I'm gonna go a different way, guys. I've been very impressed with Priscille over his last number of fights. I think that you can't. I mean, a 4-win streak. I mean, you cannot. I mean, of course, all but one was. All but one was a KO. I mean, or was a decision. But listen, he's been very exciting. I enjoy his nickname. And I'm going to go against you guys just to be the antagonist right at this point because I don't know what Pam's going to pick. I'm going to pick Priscille. I'm going to pick him early again by KO. I think that they're ready for the wrestling game. I know you guys bring up a good point that Gillespie's got that wrestling game. And again, we always talk about these prospects and them moving up and them getting a higher-end competitor, and I think that's what you're going to see here. I think Priscille is showing that he can do the thing, and I don't think it's going to be a decision. No, I'm going to take first-round KO. Okay? You guys got that?
Got it.
Yeah, don't everybody speak at once. Pam.
All right, let me school you fools here. Not really, I'm kidding.
School us, fools.
You know what? Does Gregor Gillespie, does he not look like someone from Peaky Blinders?
A little bit, yep.
Okay, absolutely. Anyway, so, you know what? Great wrestling, cardio, strong.
Hang on one second, Pam.
Okay.
Hang on, Pam. The tattoo on his neck, if you looked at it from far away, could actually look like London. You're right, because it's in that kind of Roman numeral
and then,
that they
you know,
like to put.
Yeah, he just, yeah. And then his little hairdo.
I got
little,
you.
Yeah, his little, you know, like.
Exactly. He's definitely got that hairdo. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Priscille has, you know, strength, cardio, punching power. He is a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Has definitely has the height and reach advantage, 8 KOs, 3 decision. But Gregor Gillespie, man, you know, I actually saw him fight in Charlotte. And he was amazing. I mean, you could hear those punches. I mean, oh, my God, it was incredible. It was amazing. His wrestling is amazing. He can take a punch. He can give a punch. But you know what I am going to do? I'm going to go. I'm choosing Gillespie. But Pichelle has never been submitted. I'm going with the submission. And I'm going to go, because both these guys have great cardio. Early third round submission for me. I had second, but I picked,
correct,
you know
Mundo.
What? Second round submission for me.
Okay, so second round submission.
Mm-hmm.
Sub, second. And for whom? Sorry?
Gillespie.
Come on. You guys are crazy.
Shut up.
Going the other way here. Jesus.
Oh, it's because you're Canadian. Shut up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Part of your brain is frozen.
Let's recap real quick. Yeah, thanks, Pam.
Shut up!
Let's recap real quick. We have Pam, and this is in the main event, Rivera versus Moraes. Pam going with Moraes, first round KO. Showtime, third round KO by Rivera. Proteus going with first round KO, Moraes. And Marco going with decision, Rivera, unanimous. Tony also going with Rivera, but going with a second round TKO. We move to the co-main event, Showtime. This is Gillespie versus Pichelle. Showtime going with Gillespie, unanimous decision. Proteus going with Pichelle, first round KO. Marco going with Gillespie, also unanimous decision, 30-27. Pam also going with Gillespie, sub in the second. And Tony going with Gillespie, decision. Ladies and gentlemen, that is very exciting, except for not so much, except for my pick. But ladies and gentlemen, let's go to everyone's favorite segment of the show, brought to us by Green Life Vitality.
Are you looking for a new way to stay fit and healthy? At Green Life Vitality, we work with you to customize your fitness plan and your nutrition plan. We also teach you how to prepare meals for your busy life. Visit us online at greenlifevitality.com. Use the code AMPRADIO for your free consultation.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, everyone's favorite segment, Spotlight for the Night. And I know, Marco, you're going to go with Alvi versus Volante. I know that that's what you're going to do, but no, maybe not. Marco, let's start with you. What do you got? Spotlight Fight of the Night.
Quit paying red on my head. Yes, I am going with Volante and Alvi because that is the most important fight of the night.
Oh, culo.
I like this fight so much just for the chingazos factor of it, man. And I'm going to pick Volante. Because Alvi likes to counter punch too much. He's moving up to 205. Belante is a more natural, light heavyweight. They both hit hard, but I think Belante hits harder. So, yeah, give me Belante on a first round KO. Because if he doesn't get him on the first round, he's going to get down. So, give me Belante, first round KO.
And Marco, I had no idea that was going to be your spotlight fight of the night, did I?
Yeah, quit playing right on my head, man. Quit that, man. Don't make a mess in that.
I apologize. I picked that fight just because I thought it would be fun to throw to you. Showtime, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
My spotlight fight of the night. Oof. I've done a lot of thinking about this, man. You know what? I think it'll be the Daniel Taymor Julio Arce fight, man. I think this will be a fight with some fireworks because, you know, Taymor, he's real, real exciting with that kickboxing style. And Julio has a good style as well. I think this would be three rounds of excitement. This may be fight of the night. I mean, you know, just basically an exciting fight. Two styles coming and two guys that are going to fight. Put it like this. It won't be like the main event from this past weekend. These guys are going to throw, and they're going to throw at each other. And somebody's going to connect. It's not going to be a bunch of just standing there prancing around.
Dancing with the stars.
You got it. Do you have a finish, mode of finish, and a winner for us, please?
You know what? I think Tamor, I think he may finish this by head kick. I'll say third round.
Okay.
It may be, you know, finish. I'm going out on a limb. It may be a decision, but this guy has some brutal kicks, man. And I just think he may finish this by third round head kick. Yeah, okay. KO.
All right. So let's recap real quick. Marco taking Vellante by first round KO. This is Spotlight Fight of the Night, ladies and gentlemen. This is deciding fights, just so you know. Showtime taking Tamor, the Kid Dynamite, a third round KO. Pam, what you got? Spotlight Fight of the Night.
Well, you know, I like nature shows, and, you know, I had picked the Vellante fight.
Like nature shows?
Nature, like animal shows, because
I thought, you know what?
That was going to be like two bears fighting over salmon with a big old paw.
Ah,
you know?
There's a little snake in the grass
so,
right there. Summer. Hey, little boy.
So Marco picked my fight. So I'm going with... Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Remember the name. I'm going with Bilal Muhammad versus Chance Recounter. And I think this is going to be fun. Chance having height advantage, reach advantage. But you know what? Bilal Muhammad, decision for me.
Okay, so Pam picking a Bilal. Did you say decision? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, Pam is taking Bilal by decision. I'm going to pick my Spotlight Fight of the Night because can't believe none of you chose this fight. Jake Ellenberger versus your boy, Killa B, Ben Saunders. I guess he's my boy. I just love this fight, man. I mean, two old school guys going at it. I mean, Ben Saunders was in Bellator for a while, and Jake Ellenberger being, you know, maybe near the end of his career. I don't know, man. I think this is where it's at. The fourth fight of the night. If you're starting for the main event, it's the third fight of the night. If you're starting from the bottom and working your way to the top, # that's what she said. But guys, I mean, I know there's not a lot of good fights on this card, or what don't appear to be. But I mean, the Lentz Tamer fight is going to be great, like Marco had alluded to. Bobby Green, I don't believe is on this fight anymore. On this fight card, is a late replacement. But there's going to be some fights that are interesting, and I think Ellenberger versus Saunders is very, very interesting because Ellenberger is going to want to keep this fight on the feet, and Ben Saunders, I don't think, is going to want to mess with Ellenberger and try and take it to the ground. I'm going to take Ben Saunders because I always take Saunders. I always, you know, he's kind of on Team Proteus. I'm going to take him by submission in the second. Does anyone want to take a guess on what kind of fight that Tony took? Anybody?
It's the girls. Let me guess. Probably girls.
No.
Probably hot.
Could not be, right? Could not be. So, Tony taking Sandra Enbrooks versus Lauren Murphy. Sandra couldn't have been the champ at 2-2. Yeah. Okay, wait a second. Tony, stop speaking. Sandra Brooks, he's going to take Brooks or Banks. Tony is going to take Banks by second round TKO. And he's not cueing the music, just so you guys know, on that fight. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and move along to the news and notes. Tony, if you've got any music for that, let's play it now. Thank you, Pam. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the news of the day of this week apparently has been the retirement of one Michael Bisping. Apparently on Memorial Day, and I just wanted to again wish our American fans, sorry, listeners, a very happy Memorial Day, and of course our UK listeners, a very happy bank holiday on Monday. So Michael Bisping, of course, announcing his retirement, and of course, just conveniently, and we'll talk about this later and perhaps later on in the show, as Darren Till won his fight the night before. Pam, I just think this is kind of convenient. And again, guys, this is going to be a one-round kind of roundtable discussion. You have 3 minutes to give your point of view if you're a first-time listener. If you're not a first-time listener, this is how it's going to work. Everyone's going to have 3 minutes maximum to give their point of view on all of these news and notes that I'm bringing up. So, Pam, let's throw to you for your 3 minutes. Do you have any, you know, fond memories of Michael Bisping, or do you not?
Well, my fond memory was when he fought Anderson Silva and got knocked out and still won the fight. So, whatever. But, you know, kudos to him for stepping out or stepping down before he got hurt, because I had read an article that the reason that he was retiring is because he was having some issues with his good eye. So,
yeah,
you know, the best for him. I mean, you know, the shit talk. I like Michael Bisping, analyst. I don't like Michael Bisping, you know, talking shit to everybody. But I don't. You know what? Good for him. He had a great career, great run. I still think he lost to Anderson Silva and Hendo, but hey, whatever. Good for him. The end.
Well, he did obviously lose to Hendo because he got knocked the fuck out. And Hendo's meme was of him knocking him out. No, not yet. Not yet. I'm going to throw to Showtime. Showtime, Pam brings up, you know, kind of a bias, a admission that, you know, maybe she didn't agree with Michael Bisping all the time. I don't know. What do you got? I mean, Michael Bisping retires. He's been, what was it? It was the Ultimate Fighter 3 he came off of. And he's been kind of a company guy the whole time. What do you got here, Showtime?
You know what's amazing, man? I thought, Bisping was a prick, you know, an asshole as well. But I got a chance to meet him in person at the Tilted Kilt out in Vegas. Marissa, they were doing the show out there, man. And after the show, we actually sat there, man, and he drank. We probably drank, you know, maybe 5 or 6 shots with Bisping. And he was just chopping it up.
Nice.
And, you know, talking noise. And I saw a side of him, but you don't really see just on TV. And the guy was cool as hell. So that, you know, that's my best memory of just getting a chance to drink some shots of whiskey with him. But he was a guy, man, that people started liking him a little bit more later on in his career, because he was hated, you know, at first. But he's made a lot of money with these last fights, and just getting a chance to get that belt and getting some big fights, man. It's time, you know, to basically give it up when you're having issues with your vision. That's something you don't play with. So I think he'll be a UFC Hall of Famer at some point. But, yeah, it was time to go. 2 vicious KOs. Well, a vicious KO and basically getting choked out. You know, it's time to call it quits. And he has a great job, too. So we'll see a lot more of him, hopefully, on ESPN now.
Are you done with your time, Showtime?
Yeah, that's basically it.
All right. Thank you, GJ Tony. Marco, let's throw to you here for you to start your 3 minutes. Marco, Showtime gives us a bit of a different outlook on Bisping that only he could have. What was your thoughts on Bisping, and what are your thoughts on him retiring, you know, just after Till has a great win?
Ta-dum, ta-da-dum, ta-da-da-dum. Woo-hoo! You need to retire that song too, man. Nobody else is allowed to use it as a walk-out song anymore. But very interesting career of Michael Bisping, dude. I mean, of course, you know, winner of the Ultimate Fighter trade. Did an excellent job as a coach opposite Jason Mayhem Miller. He was Chael Sonnen before there was a Chael Sonnen. Always good at promoting a fight, making it personal. Even with the fight didn't mean anything, people would pay attention because Michael Bisping will make you pay attention. Oddly enough, he started being well-liked when he started to get airtime, man. When he became an analyst for FS1, and then on his radio show on SiriusXM, and now his own podcast, the Believe You Me podcast, people saw the other side of Michael Bisping, the guy that busts balls and talks and speaks out his mind, and that makes him a very likable person, man. The last run of his career, his persistency allowed him to, you know, not only beat Luke Rojo for the title, he beat Anderson Silva. He avenged a loss with freaking Dan Henderson. And then he had a mega fight where he got his fight, his big payday with George St. Pierre, for crying out loud. I am so happy for the dude, man. And when it comes to all these eye issues, you know, I personally suffer for retinal issues, you know, with my retinitis pigmentosa. I know how it is going blind. It sucks. So good for him, man, to put a break on his career before more damage is done to his good eye, too. Because the last things you need, man, is live on a world where you only see half of the things and losing the colors and, you know, everything is blurry. Good for him. You got a family to take care of, a body moving career, and the ESPN is not stupid. They are going to pick him as an analyst to do the weigh-ins and the post and pre-shows and probably any other side freaking shows that they need to do with Michael Bisping because he's talented enough to do that kind of stuff. So cheers, dude. Farewell, mate. Michael Bisping, you the man. And every time I called to see this accent, he was always cool with me. So I like to do that a lot now. Good riddance, Michael Bisping.
Yeah, and I think, guys, I'm going to echo your sentiments. I remember Michael Bisping, as I had mentioned, from The Ultimate Fighter 3. And I really liked him coming off of that show. And I know people will say in the media that show was built for him. And I at the time, I didn't see it like that. And I mean, if we're going to replay it back in our minds, maybe we say that about it. But listen, I think, like you said, I mean, like you guys said, you know, Dan Hardy was originally supposed to be the face of the UK, or maybe he was supposed to take it over from Michael Bisping. I don't really know how it was working back in the day, but Michael Bisping was the first UK star, and we had a UK versus Australia Ultimate Fighter. So, you know, there was definitely Ross Pearson came out off of that show. So there was definitely a definite conscious effort by the UFC to have a UK star. And I think that still is prominent today. I think that we still need that in that market. And I just thought it was very interesting, guys. I know I mentioned this at the top, but I think it was very interesting that Michael Bisping decided, or maybe the UFC said, you can go ahead and take this break now. You can go ahead and take your retirement. We've got a guy to take over in your area. And because, you know, and we'll discuss this later on, but it was a very, very close decision for Darren Till. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand. But I think I have to agree with Marco that it's a good decision. You know, Bisping, as I mentioned at the top, was a company man. He was always a company man. And you know, he is reaping the rewards in the fact that he's making lots of money off of the fights that he's been in, but his body is definitely not reaping the rewards of being a prize fighter. Again, like you said, Marco, if his sight is going in his good eye as well, it is time to, you know, get that surgery done that will correct his bad eye. And, of course, hopefully help his good eye. And as you mentioned, Marco, maybe he can go ahead and get a job in the ESPN booth moving forward. with Ariel Helwani and, of course, your boy Chael Sonnen. Okay, guys, I don't want to harp too much on that because Gegard Mousasi got a very, very impressive win on the weekend, guys. And I don't know if any of us were not on board with this. I think only Marco was picking Cavallo, as I mentioned in the previous show. Gegard Mousasi looking very, very good. Showtime looking, I don't know, not so much concerned about USADA body. I don't want to, you know, shed any kind of negative light on that, but you know, I think it's a very different situation over there in Bellator. Maybe the non-audit supplements could be used at some point in time. But very, very important to note that Gegard Mousasi getting a very impressive win against, you know, the previous middleweight champion, Rafael Cavallo. And, of course, Gegard Mousasi, 44-6-2, is not, you know, he's no slouch. So what do you think here, Showtime? Let's start with you. Gegard Mousasi wins the Bellator championship in the middleweight division. Of course, just one sidebar, thinking about taking on the 170 champ. What do you think?
You know what? Gegard looked amazing. That's the Gegard that we thought we would see, you know, coming into Bellator. He did say, you know, he looked bad in his previous fight because he said he got hurt early in that fight. And he was basically fighting hurt and really couldn't see. But, I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, it looked like a junior varsity guy, you know, trying to fight a varsity guy, basically. And if we see that Gegard, he'll be hard to beat over there, even if he fights Rory. I think he's a whole lot bigger than Rory, for one. So I think that would be probably be a fight that they could do big numbers with. But, man, to be honest, I hate to see this guy out of the UFC, man. I think he was at that point where he was right on the edge of being able to be a world champion in the UFC. So I think he'll dominate Bellator.
Yeah, and I think you have a good point there. And are you finished your time there?
No, hey, but you got to look at this, though. Look at how many belts that this guy had, man. I mean, that's pretty much amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean,
how many fights? I mean, has he had like 40-something fights? I mean, that's just crazy, the amount of fights that he's had. And he doesn't seem shot-worn. Like, you know, some guys that have had that many fights don't have a chin. And I guess he hadn't got to that point yet where his chin is gone. That's the only thing that I wonder about a lot of guys that have been in that many fights that they have, you know, like Alistair Overeem has had a bunch of fights, but his chin is gone now, you know, as a result of that. But Gegard still looks good and fresh, and he seems hungry. So I still think we can see this guy. We probably haven't even seen the best of him yet. I don't know. I'm not going to come in as far as on the illegal sauce or anything, but the guy looks good, man. I can't see anyone beating him right now in that weight class.
All right. So thank you very much, Showtime, for giving us your 3 minutes. You didn't take the whole 3 minutes, but Marco, let's throw to you. I mean, Gegard Mousasi, you know, top five at least in the UFC. And the talk is that, you know, probably he's the number one middleweight in the world. I mean, at the time when he was in the UFC, Bisping was a champion, and that didn't happen. So let's throw to you, and your 3 minutes start right now.
Okay, Gegard Mousasi beat Rafael Carvalho. I just want to remember Carvalho's
exactly.
Name after a while, because he was a champ. They never promoted the guy, and the guy's really good. I mean, while the fight was a defeat, Carvalho looked good. Once he went to the ground, he was like a fish out of water compared to Mousasi. But, man, you know what? The argument that he's the best middleweight in the world, I don't buy it. He was on his way, and he should have probably fought for the title in the UFC, and then it would be undisputable. But who the hell is he going to fight in Bellator at middleweight? Arimas with Eshlemenko? Because that is the only fight at middleweight that he got. Everybody else at middleweight in Bellator does not exist. His only other move, besides taking that Rory McDonald fight, is probably move to light heavyweight and trying to fight either Phil Davis, Ryan Bader for the title, but Ryan Bader is tied up with a freaking heavyweight crap, and probably King Mo. King Mo wants to move to middleweight. That is maybe another fight that he has that a middleweight. But after that, what? What are you going to give me? Chael Sonnen? Whatever, you know. It's hard pickings in Bellator. Congratulations, Gregor Mousasi. You weren't happy in the UFC, and you went to what you thought you got greener pastures. And because he is in Bellator, by the general public, the hardcore know that he's really good. He got a lot of belts, but because he didn't get that pinnacle UFC belt, we will never recognize him as the best middleweight in the world. Right now, Robert Whittaker is. And if he beats Joel Romero again, he will be undeniably the best middleweight in the planet. And Mousasi forfeited his chance to prove us otherwise when he moved to Bellator. He basically skipped town and said, I'm taking my ball and go play somewhere else. So we cannot call him the number one middleweight. One of the top three middleweights in the world? Yeah. I'm not going to argue that. But the top middleweight on the planet, I had a hard time believing that.
Okay, so let's you got a bit more time. So why is he not the top middleweight on the planet? Since Michael Bisping was the champion, and then GSP was the champion, and we've not had the interim title combined. Please.
Because he didn't have the chance to fight for that title. You know, he beat a former champion, Chris Weidman, and nobody's gonna take that away from him. But he lost to Jiraiya Hall. He eventually lost, but you can always say he lost to Jiraiya Hall. Jiraiya Hall is nowhere near championship level. And Eshlemenko, you can argue he won that fight. You know, he gave everything that Mousasi could handle, and Mousasi didn't look too good against Eshlemenko. It is because of the lack of depth of Bellator is going to forbid him to be named the best middleweight on the planet. If he can beat some quality guys on middleweight in Bellator, then we had an argument. But right now, it's the lack of depth of Bellator that is going to trump that possibility.
Yeah, and I apologize to the listeners because I gave Marco some extra time there because I thought that question needed to be answered. And I appreciate that, Marco, for you giving us that extra time. Thank you, DJ Tony. I have to agree. I mean, the only thing that's holding Gegard Mousasi down right now is the fact that he's in Bellator. I do think that the bodies in Bellator look a lot different than the bodies in the UFC, and it's kind of like pre-USADA, post-USADA in the UFC. You know what I mean? Like, we could tell before the USADA came in, and I'm not casting stones at all. I'm just saying that, you know, not having to be exposed to the USADA kind of testing is, you know, is to their advantage. I mean, you don't have to, in Bellator, you don't have to tell USADA where you are at every step of your day. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do a number of things. So it just crossed into my mind when I saw how healthy Gegard Mousasi's body looked. So let's move on. I apologize. Let's move on. I'm not trying to cast any stones. Staying on the Bellator note, okay, guys. Let's just move on quickly. And I don't want to give this 3 minutes, guys. Let's just move on real quick. Michael Venom Page, of course, beats David Rickles. Marco, let's start with you. I mean, Michael Venom Page needs an upgrade in competition, right? I mean, David Rickles kind of just gave up. So he needs somebody at the top. He needs somebody elite, correct?
Okay, so kudos for MVP for throwing the Infinity Gauntlet out there. That was cool as hell. I like that. Rikus was supposed to be his first test, and Rikus just quit, man. I mean, I don't know how you come back from a loss like that. Rikus really, he says no mas, you know. He pulled a Roberto Duran, you know. So MVP looked good. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. He's 9-0 in freaking Bellator. There is no more gimmick for freaking MVP. Give him Paul Daly, and then, since he fights a freaking middleweight, throw him a title shot. Let's see how he does against Busase. If he's that good, you know, that is your fight. Because there is no, like I said, there is no depth. He's supposed to be a star, giving a star quality freaking fights. Paul Daly, and then a title shot. But look, you look good, MVP. I'll give you that match.
Exactly. Pam?
Yep.
Go ahead. You since
we all forgot about me and Mustafi, I think he's off.
Oh, did I?
Think he is. Yeah, you did. So I get 20 minutes now. No, you know what? I like him. I thought he, real quick, I think he's amazing. I thought he looked amazing. I think the UFC was releasing him was the stupidest thing that they ever did. Him and Rory, catch weight, I guess. That should be interesting. It's not happening anytime soon from what I read. But that's going to be fun. But I like Mustafi. I've always liked him. I wish we would have seen him, him and I wanted to see him and Jacare fight and him and he's the pretty boy. Pretty boy that's always hurt. Rockhold. Man, I wanted to see that too. You know, there's so many rematches that should have happened that didn't happen. But anyways, I like him. He looks great. He's amazing where he's at. Michael Benham Page. I mean, he was, the caveman was completely outclassed. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the broken orbital that, I don't know. But that was a crazy fight too. And they just looked also completely different weight classes. But and Bellator's interesting. They got some interesting stuff happening there. So I dig it.
Yeah, competition is good though, right, Pam? Like we need to have.
Oh yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it.
Again, like we talk about Bellator, but not a lot of people seem to be interested in Bellator. And I mean, we could talk about Phil Davis, of course, getting a big win as well, but let's throw the Showtime. Did we do Showtime on MVP already? I'm losing track here because Pam or Tony is texting me considerably. No, I'm just joking with you, Tony. It's all good.
Man, MVP look amazing.
Right.
Basically, he kind of reminds me. Sort of, he has that Anderson Silva like flair, but the Big John was making some points with just how efficient this guy is striking. It's like he's a sniper. You know how when Anderson fights, like he don't just waste a lot of punches. When he's throwing, it's landing, and it's basically. I mean, Rickles had to get out of there, man. I mean, we getting on him for quitting. But that guy, Rickles, is a tough SOB, and he got out of there. He wanted out. He couldn't take any more of that. I mean, he was basically hitting him, man. I was just like, ugh. I mean, I was just frowning to myself. I was watching the fight by myself, and every time he hit him, I was just basically grimacing. But I think they just need to keep moving him along. But he's not ready for a guy like Mousasi that's basically an all-around fighter
with
that has a nasty – you know, jiu-jitsu game as well. I think that's one little hole that he needs to fill is you know, working on his wrestling and jiu-jitsu. But now one thing about it, if you're so good at one part of your game, sort of like Conor McGregor, if you got those hands where you can basically put those hands on a guy and basically shock him, you know, before he can get you to the ground, you still can be a great fighter as well. And one thing I'm noticing, I don't think too many people want to get into a stand-up game with him and let him basically kickbox you because you have no chance in hell, you know, if you're going to try to beat him like that. And then, too, if you're going to try to shoot from so far out, I was noticing him, too, with his accuracy because if he uses his distance sort of like a John Jones where he can basically keep you away and make you fight his type of fight, he's going to get a lot of wins. I mean, I just want them to keep bringing him along. I would like to see the Paul Daly fight because I think Paul would stand toe-to-toe with him. This may be the end of Paul if we see this fight, to be honest. I think this will be the end of Paul Daly, but I want to see it, you know. It would be a good fight. That would be a good test for him with a guy that has power that could knock him out as well. You know, basically we'll see a good kickboxing match. We probably won't even see the fight even hit the floor, to be honest. And that'll be the type. I think they're going to try to keep him away from wrestlers at first, kind of bring him along like they brought Connor along. You know, let him work on his game and work on the holes in his game. And then, you know, maybe put him in there against a guy that has some good stand-up, but that's vicious on the ground as well.
Hey, can I interject, Jeff, one comment? I said, given Musashi, but I forgot he's a welterweight. So the more natural path for him after Paul Daly will be the former champion, Lima, and then Rory McDonald, if you want to do something with him. Because enough of this freaking guinea fights for him. Enough of that crap.
Oh, Marco, that's a good fight that you just said, Marco. Him and Lima would be, because Lima has nasty stand-up as well with nasty kicks. That would be a great, great matchup.
No, Lima kicks his fucking ass. Sorry. Straight up, Lima kicks his fucking ass. Okay, so secondly, I want to say MVP needs more competition. I understand what you guys are saying. They are trying to build him the Conor McGregor route. So I'm going to tie both of these situations. I'm going to comment on both. We saw a very high-level striker in MVP take on not so much high-level striker and kind of the old-school way to go in MMA in Rickles. And again, we saw this in the main event in the UFC 130 main event, okay? And I'm going to tie this together because it makes sense. Because in the UFC main event, we saw a very, very high-level striking affair. And I don't care if you're a casual fan, if you want to tune out right now, this conversation is not for you, okay? MVP is not facing the kind of competition the Wonder Man is. It's just not the same kind of thing. I mean, we see MVP look very, very impressive, and yes, he did. And it was good for Bellator for him to look impressive and put on that gigantic plastic fucking hand that was annoying as shit. I'm so tired of...
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Who gives a shit, Pam? That's what I'm just trying to say. It's not for us. It's for the millennials. It's for the people who are coming up. I don't know
it's
what it was.
It's called Infinity Gauntlet.
There you go. Marco knows.
What is it?
Avengers, man. You saw the movie.
Who gives a shit about the Avengers?
No. I didn't see that. Okay.
Finish your explanation, Marco.
I'm good. You don't get a
no, I want to hear what I want to hear what it is because I don't know anything about.
I have no idea what it is.
What he was doing.
The Infinity
I thought it was
Gauntlet,
like Power Rangers.
The one device that Thanos, the freaking bad guy on the Avengers, uses to kill half the universe.
Ah.
So basically, MVP put the gauntlet on and he. He said, I can kill half the universe now. He said,
right, exactly. So this is what I'm saying. This is exactly what I'm saying. If this guy is going to continue to do Pokemon and the Avengers stuff, let's put him against somebody who's going to fucking kick his ass. Please. Okay, secondly, I want to throw to a real fight, Thompson versus Till. Okay, guys, let's throw to a very, very high-end Showtime, I'm going to start with you. Showtime, let's throw to a very, very high-end striking fight. This fight was not going to go to the ground until in the fifth when a striker himself, Till, takes it to the ground. Again, Let's get your view on it first of all, because it was a very, very high end striking battle, and it was not like MVP in his fight, because that person who he fought was, you know, Rickles was not exactly on his level, and we could tell that, and that's why it got stopped in the second, very, very early. Was it even in the second? Yeah. I think Rickles gave up in the second. Now, the second question I want to throw to you, Showtime, is also about judging, because I don't believe that we have the quality of judge to judge the event that we saw on Sunday night from Liverpool, England. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that judging was suspect, man. The fight was, I mean, it was a very technical fight. I mean, I watched the fight real closely, and I actually had Wonderboy winning, but
right,
I could see somebody basically picking Phil, because, you know, of him basically coming forward, even though it was a bunch of fainting and that. You know what, man? Sometimes two styles will make a boring fight. I was actually telling some guys in a post, to make a guy like Wonderboy, to bring the best out of him, you have to have a guy like Masvidal that's going to walk forward regardless of what you're doing. He's going to walk forward, and he's going to throw. That's just his style. And, you know, that style, you know, that's the type of guy that Wonderboy can really do his point fighting and counter-strike and basically show you how deadly he is. But if you have a guy that's basically doing a bunch of fainting and stuff as well, it'll be a boring fight. But I didn't see it. I didn't see Teal. What was it, 30-27? That a couple of them had it for Teal. I didn't see that.
49,
I
mean, 46, if anything, 46, 48, 47.
Marcos got it. And I didn't see it that way. I mean, it should have been basically a split decision if he would have won it. I wouldn't have gave a round to either guy, you know, like that. It would have been basically a close fight. I had it 3-2, Wonderboy. I mean, I couldn't see the fight going any other way. I could see it 3-2 Teal. But you know what I think what they need to do too? Everybody's talking about the open scorecards and all that. Something has to be done, man, because it's getting pathetic. You know, I think somebody needs to do something. You bringing a fan in, trying to bring new people in to watch this sport, and they basically looking at these scorecards, you know, people coming from boxing or whatever, they know a little bit about striking, and they like, what? I mean, even though boxing have some bad decisions, I just think everybody need to get on the unified rules, too. Everybody needs to start doing the same rules instead of this state or this commission does this. I want everybody to be under the same. The NBA, when you go somewhere, everybody playing under the same rules. NFL, same rules. And I think it needs to get like that with MMA as well.
Yeah, no, 100% agree, but let's not get onto that conversation just yet. Marco, we're talking about the differences between the two fights and the quality of fighter. I do want you to weigh in on exactly what Showtime has said and the scoring and the 10-month system if you want, but I just want to point out the difference between the two fights. I mean, and again, I'm gonna show the Knight versus Americani fight as well. I mean, we just saw that there were the judging itself and the judges, they just don't know what's going on in the sport. So, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'll let you speak. You have your 3 minutes now.
Okay. For all these people that are crying wool about judging, 98% of the decisions that happen on MMA are actually correct. We always focus on the outliers. The same in boxing. 98% of the decisions that happen in boxing are correct. We always focus on the outliers. The Teal and Thompson fight was not a robbery. It was a super close fight. I got a 3-2 for Teal because, you know, if you consider those leg kick damage, those leg kicks really mess up freaking out. Wonderboy, you can see visually, I am going blind and I can see the bruising of freaking Thompson's leg. Now, when it comes to the scoring, you also got to recognize that because he was on Liverpool, the judges, whether they won or not, are human beings, so they're going to be affected by the freaking crowd reaction. Every time Q did anything, the crowd exploded. And every time Wonderful freaking did anything, it was crickets. You know why? When they go to Brazil, Brazilians have so much success because of the same effect. Judges get affected by the crowd reaction. Then they might say, oh, my God, he's doing something more. I truly believe that the fifth round, we cannot argue, was all tilt because he knocked freaking Wonderful down. The other four rounds were so close that if it went either way, I would have a freaking issue. It went freaking tilt way, and even if it was a 49-46 decision, it doesn't mean that those four rounds they gave to Till were blowouts. It was that so close that just people were seeing it Till's way. When it comes to correcting a scoring, man, the time to freaking correct the scoring system was when we freaking did the unified rules 20 years ago. Now we're in bed with the scoring system. And it's going to take all the commissions and the ABC, the Association of Boxing Commission, to agree to change the scoring system. And you know that it's going to be like freaking time to move Mount Everest. They cannot even agree on what the down opponent is. Because this is not up to the UFC, it's not up to Bellator, it's up to the commissions to get a scoring right. But like I said, people are crying wolf when 98% of the decisions are actually correct. The outliers are the ones that always piss us off. What can we do? Maybe educate some judges better, but I mean, they got 20 years experience already with this. It's like, how much educated are they going to get? There's going to be controversy in the sport, and I see sometimes controversy is good. We can give it our opinion. We can freaking criticize the judges and to do a better job the next time. But I see that we already made this better. We're going to have to sleep in it. Because correcting open scoring and all that crap, trust me on this, it's not going to happen. In boxing, it hasn't happened. And boxing is 100 years old. 20 years, we got the unified rules. I don't think it's changing anymore. And if now that we're going to ESPN, it's going to be more mainstream and the casuals know the system, nothing is going to change, brother. They tried to freaking change the score since when they created the unified rules. Now it's too late.
Oh, wow. Right on time, Marco. Way to go. Pam, your 3 minutes start right now.
Okay, well, what I've always wondered is why don't the judges, I mean, do they have fight experience? How did they get the job? And, you know, like Marco says, these rules have been in place for 20 years. Okay, well, maybe it's time to do some revising of these rules and get everybody on the same page, because it's like Showtime says, you know, you go to New York and, okay, we're fighting under these sanctified rules of New York. And then you go to California. Oh, we're fighting under these sanctified rules of California. Then you go to Vegas and it's something different. Well, we need to have something that's consistent, you know, not that it changes everywhere. It needs to be consistent. And you do need to have judges that are knowledgeable, because sometimes you wonder what they're looking at or what fight they're watching, or, you know, are they distracted? Are they, you know, looking at their phone and, oh, I just got a text and did I miss something? You know, you don't know what they're doing. So I just think that whole judging thing needs a freaking overhaul, because, you know, some of the scoring that happened on Sunday, I was like, what the fuck? What? So I had Wonderboy winning. I think it was a close fight, very technical fight. And but I didn't see Till taking that fight. And then, you know, keep in mind too, the guy comes in overweight, you know, misses weight, and you know, still fighting it at 188 on weight, on the second weigh. And so what did he weigh when he walked into the octagon?
Way more than that.
So that's my. I just think that judges need to be consistent. They need to be educated better. You know, they need to be more up to date on as the fight game is evolving. They need to evolve with it. Stop being a bunch of fucking dinosaurs.
Are you done with your time, Pam?
Yep.
Okay. Tony, I would like you to start the clock for me right now, because I have a lot to say on this particular subject. So my time starts right now. Okay, so I wanted to draw the comparison in the fact that there was a lot of really, really high-level strikers And, of course, we are in the sport of MMA, which means that the fight can go to the ground. And I just wanted to point out that the Till versus Thompson fight did not go to the ground until the fifth round, when Thompson, himself a striker, took that fight to the ground. And I believe he took that fight to the ground because he had gotten taken, or he had gotten knocked down in the fifth, and he was trying to do what he could to alleviate or erase that knockdown. Now, in the Knight versus Americani fight, we saw Knight knock down Americani twice in the first round. So that round clearly should not be scored a 10-9 round. That round should be scored a 10-8 at least. I believe the system is not broken. We can use the 10-9 system. We just cannot allow people who are uneducated in mixed martial arts to continue to judge these fights. It just cannot happen. You need people who are educated in what is happening and the subtleties. Like, I watched that fight. I watched the Till versus Thompson fight, and everybody was like, why are they touching hands? Why are they being so friendly? Because they appreciate the fact that neither one of them can get anything done. And when that person does get something done, whoever gets the strike that hits somebody in the head, they appreciate the fact that that actually has happened. I mean, we have to give Till his credit and his due for keeping his composure and not letting Stephen Thompson knock him the fuck out. That's not what happened. Yes, I believe that Stephen Thompson won that fight. If he was like he was in the fucking Matrix. You know, the only time he got hit was in the fifth, and that knocked him down. But that happens. And the fifth, also, Stephen Thompson took Darren Till down. So you have to – you took the striker from where he wanted to be, and you put him on the ground. Yes, the striker put you on the ground because he hit you in the face. So those two things have to cancel each other out. I mean, we need educated people in this position. We can no longer have Adelaide Bird and her friend. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I gave my point of view. I gave my point of view. That was my 3 minutes. I've spoken on this topic many times in the past. Go back into the archives if you want to listen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get out of here. Let's go ahead, Pam, start with you. I'd love to hear if you have a Twitter follow of the week, or if you have any kind of anything that you want to put out right now. Pam, the floor is yours. Please go ahead.
Oh, you know what? A show that I'm watching, we're watching that Britannia and the what's the other one?
Handmaid's Tale. Say it again.
Britannia. And it's about,
and what is it on?
Oh my God. This is on, I think it's on Amazon, and it's about the Druids.
Amazon, okay.
Early Britain history, really cool stuff with the Romans and really cool stuff, and also Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Talked over you. Anything else?
No, that's it. Just that, hey, Greenick Diaz.
Greenick Diaz, and well, Showtime. We throw to you because we're trying to get out of here. You got a Twitter follow of the week, or you got a show that you're watching. Yes. Anything that you want to throw right now, Showtime, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I got a Twitter follower of the week. Actually, at Felice Herridge. There's something about her that I like. At Felice Herridge.
Is it the fact that she poses in comic book underwear? Is that kind of why you like her?
That might be it. But it's something about her that I like. I find her very intriguing.
Indeed. I agree. I agree 100%. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give my shout-out this week to Coheed and Cambria. I'm sure that's a surprise to no one. They are coming out with a new album. I'm sure by the end of the year. They are on an American tour. If you have a chance to see them, go and do that. Their new single, I think that they're going to be releasing, is on YouTube. Just go ahead and Google that, Coheed and Cambria. Check it out. It's fantastic. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. And if you have not listened to our shows in the past, please go back into the archives. Marco, close out the show.
So, first shout out again to MVP Michael Venom Page, because he just posted a picture of himself as Venom. That was really, really cool. I like it. The biggest Golden Knights of the Washington Capitals have made me watch hockey again. What an entertaining Stanley Cup.
Hockey.
Hockey. Oh, yeah. Of all sports. Okay, I'm watching hockey again. But, we're going to try to watch the polling that is going to be the freaking. Golden State Warriors against the Cavaliers, and watch that for what it's worth. Follow Shoten and Raimundo, follow Pama Pandora Box, follow Producer and Produce, follow me, Amaldo Marco, follow Tony, IMDB Tony, follow the show, another MMA cast, right on reviews, back ahead. We need the reviews, fight up tomorrow, Friday, so don't miss them. We're going to leave you guys, catch you guys next week, enjoy the fight.
And Pam, just like that,
we are out of here. Bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.